going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My mom retired when I was 11, so she could travel she said, I don't want to miss, you know, your tournaments. I don't want to miss you playing sports. I don't want to miss all that so I can, you know, go work my job. She was a cop for 27 years, so she put in her time and when push came to shove, she said, I don't want to miss it. And my dad, coached me in all my sports growing up. And they put a lot of time and effort into me. I tell them how thankful I am for them almost every chance I get. Because, they say, you don't have to thank us, but you do. And I learned that from a young age, that you should thank your parents a lot more than you think.
That is White Sox pitcher Shane Smith talking on the White Sox Talk podcast with our friend Chuck Garfine about the sacrifices that his parents made to make sure that he could have all the baseball possible that he could ever play and all the support that he could to make it eventually to the big leagues. And Shane Smith has made it to the big leagues. This is a guy who's a Rule 5 draft pick, not once, but twice, and has bounced around from club to club to club. The White Sox got him as a Rule 5 draft pick from Milwaukee. He was the number one pick in said draft. And now he is here, and as a member of the White Sox, he's been terrific. He has started 4 games. He's got an ERA of 2.82, a whip under 1. I was just looking at these stats a mere moment ago. These are the starting pitchers with the best batting average against in Major League Baseball, okay? The top 10 starting pitchers with the best batting average against in Major League Baseball include names like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shota Imanaga, Logan Gilbert, Kevin Gausman, Garrett Crochet, who was terrific yesterday, Hunter Green, Carlos Rodon, and Shane Smith. 4th best batting average against for any pitcher in Major League Baseball. And Shane Smith joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Shane, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Nice to meet you. Thanks so much for doing it. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Matt. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. I don't know if you heard that or realized that stat. Batting average against, that's pretty good. You don't want to give up hits. You're number 4. It's like Carlos Rodon, Hunter Green, Garrett Crochet, Kevin Gausman, Shane Smith. You're in that company right now. How's that?
It's pretty surreal. Thankful to be in that group with that group of names.
What was yesterday like? For anybody who doesn't know, Shane Smith, Danvers, Massachusetts, right?
Yes.
And you get a chance to pitch at Fenway. What'd you have? How many people were there for you yesterday, Shane?
Ballpark you know, a couple hundred, I think. You know, no idea what the specific number is, but you know, I know there's a lot there to support me, which is cool.
So that's amazing. So parents, friends, family, high school pals, cousins, what are we talking about?
All the above. You know, people I played summer ball with when I was 12 and 13 and, you know, family members, you know, both sides of my family, you know, friends, girlfriends, family, people I went to high school with, people that I, you know, that are just from my town and from my area that came out to support. So, yeah, just really, really cool to have them there.
Amazing. What does that do to your focus as a pitcher? How did that balance go for you yesterday?
I don't think it was too bad. I feel like I've adjusted well with trying to, you know, shut out the off the field stuff. So, I think the big day was the debut, and then after that, it's kind of just, you know, I'm out there, you know, focused on what I have to do. Outside the lines doesn't really matter as much.
Good. I mean, that's got to be a battle for some people. You have tricks in that regard. What do you do when it's time to lock it in? What's your routine like?
A lot of breath work, a lot of visualization. You know, making sure I'm focusing on the things that matter to me, like whether it's a couple hours before or you know, 10 minutes before, just trying to keep what's important in the front of my mind and in the focus. And, you know, you can't do too much in one pitch. You can't win the game at one pitch. So I think it's just realizing one pitch at a time is the only way to go. And you go from there.
That's awesome. I love how many young ball players, young pitchers these days are finding ways to do that. When did you find that? Like the breath work and the visualization, how old were you when you started adding that stuff in?
I think I did a little bit of it last year. It was probably pretty, you know, intermediate. Last year I started starting again and was looking for ways to either, you know, hype myself up or calm myself down and focus in. But I think I really kind of refined it this past, you know, I started doing it in the spring. And I saw good results and I liked how I felt. So, you know, things change and routines can kind of have adjustments to it. But I think, you know, I like when I do it and I like how I feel when I do it.
That's awesome. Shane Smith of the White Sox joining us here on Hit and Run. Sean Burke going today for the White Sox. Mike Vassell got into the game yesterday. Fair to say that you three were high school rivals. Is that accurate?
I don't think so. Sean and Mike played against each other in high school.
Okay.
I went to a high school a little more north than them and wasn't able to play them. So I only knew them as teammates. So we played in the area code games together in that summer showcase. And that's when we, you know, first introduced ourselves to one another. And then I got to know Mike these past 2 years, you know, a little bit better as, you know, kind of adults, not as high schoolers. We're all friends now. I don't think we're ever rivals.
Okay. But you are three guys from the same high school class who played high school ball within what, 30 miles of each other? And then, and now this weekend, you're all playing at Fenway.
Yeah. It's pretty surreal. The opportunity that we, you know, everybody got and you know, making the most of it with Mike and I being Rule 5 guys and you know, just kind of whatever opportunity we kind of run with you know, to all end up in this place and especially in Fenway this weekend is pretty special.
What was the first time you were at a big league ballpark? Was it Fenway? How old were you, if you remember?
Yeah, it was Fenway. I couldn't have been older than 6 or 7.
Wow.
Probably.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't come to a ton of games growing up just because I played sports and was busy. So, you know, coming to a game was an event for us. And I went to a couple of games in high school for, you know, field trips and whatnot. But, just stepping in between the lines and you know, being on field level is just a completely different experience.
Yeah, I bet. And you guys got to go in the Monster. I've been back in there. It's small. It's cramped. It's dirty. It's old. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, different than other ballparks. It's you know, dark and cramped and pretty dirty. But, you know, it's kind of represents Boston a little bit in a good way in my mind.
Yeah.
you know, there's a lot of character that goes into, you know, seeing all the names and, you know, the 1986 Mets are signed in there. Like, it's just old names like that that you see and you realize that you're part of history. Wow. And, you know, everybody who's ever came to that, you know, to the ballpark and signed their name is part of a small list, more than likely. So, yeah, just, you know, really cool for us and, you know, to do it together.
I'll go ahead and be honest. And the listeners know me, Shane, like, I was in high school in 86, and I called my dad with two outs and two strikes on Gary Carter, and I told him to tape the post-game show, okay? And he hung up on me. He said, I've been a Red Sox fan too long, and he hung up on me. And then I watched them crumble, and that was my life as a kid, just so you know who you're talking to. So you referenced in the 86 Mets. That hurts. That hurts, Shane.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. It was just one of the big names that I saw, that's all.
I get it. what has changed for you? Because right now, I look at you, and I was reading a write up on you the other day about how, like, you basically have four different kind of movement patterns from all four of your pitches, like a four seamer, the change up, and then the curveball, and like there's three different like realms of velocity. Like, this stuff that's coming out of your arm looks like you should have been a success earlier than this. So has something changed dramatically for you, or what happened?
I think the big thing is being healthy for, you know, a long period of time. Yeah. 2023 was my first healthy year in 5 years since, you know, just kind of get my feet under me and realizing what kind of pitcher I am and the things I do well, and just consistent, you know, tweaking and again, realizing what I do well and what I don't, and how can I kind of maximize, you know, one of the two and minimize the other. So, I changed some delivery things last year and the year before. And, I think now it's just kind of tweaking it and, you know, having good awareness of what I'm doing and where my body is in space and realizing. I think yesterday was, you know, closer to the spring training feel that I've had. Spring training is probably the best I've thrown in a while. So I'm just trying to, you know, get back and trying to repeat those things.
When you say what you do well, can you share some of that with us without giving up scouting report stuff? Is it possible to share?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty aggressive in the zone. You know, with all pitches, you know, got a little wild with the curveball yesterday and you know, that's an adjustment to make, but I think I'm pretty aggressive in the zone and the changeup is a new pitch for me and I feel pretty confident throwing that in a lot of counts. So, you know, being able to be aggressive with the fastball and slider and being able to subtract with the changeup, even though it's kind of a power change, but, you know, having a wrinkle of the changeup is huge for me just to, you know, have that confidence to be able to throw that in any count. I think that's, you know, that's some of the bigger things. And then there's, you know, mentality and all that stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, the result of the pitch and everything is the biggest thing.
Yeah, that changeup breaks arm side. And the way you talk about it, just hitters having to know that it could come at any point during the count, that's got to mess with people. Is it similar or different to Davis Martin throws that kick change? What are the differences between those two?
Yes, similar. Since he's kicking it, he's got his kind of knuckle up and he's you know, his fingernail is kind of on the ball. I'm not sure how he specifically throws it. You know, different guys have different feels for it. But I just kind of throw a seam shifted one. So instead of throwing a traditional circle change or traditional two seam, I kind of just twist and maneuver the ball in my hand a little bit to have me, because I want my middle finger to take over. And I'm going to kind of come across it rather than throwing kind of inside the ball. Like, everybody knows traditional changeup is you're getting inside the baseball. I'm not really getting inside the baseball. So, it's similar to Martin's. We throw it in similar ways, but, just small different, you know, grip tweaks.
Who are your favorite pitchers, like righty power arms like you, who throw a real good change? Do you watch guys and be like, oh man, that person mixes in stuff the right way? That's how I'd like to do it.
I didn't see too much of the changeup. I grew up watching. I really liked Max Scherzer growing up. So, you know, he was an arm just I kind of identified with and enjoyed to see. But, you know, you see a lot of guys throwing, you know, really good stuff nowadays. And, you know, I use Pitching Ninja to kind of, you know, if someone puts up a video or something and they're showing grips, like, I think you're doing a disservice if you're not checking it out and seeing if you can, you know, try and find something you can learn from.
That's awesome. Yeah, Rob Friedman's, he's been on the show before. It's like, this is the way it happens. It used to happen with, like, the veterans showing you stuff in the dugout or the locker room. Does it still happen that way, too? I mean, I love that it happens with Pitching Ninja that way, and that's natural, but does it still happen the other way as well?
Yeah, guys. I'll ask guys all the time, hey, how are you grabbing this? What are you doing with this? And, you know, you're just trying to share tidbits of information, and whether it's grips or starting points or location or sequencing, yeah, we're always kind of talking about it.
So you were a closer at Wake Forest, Shane Smith, briefly. What's cooler, closing or starting?
Starting, in my opinion. I like getting into games and going deep, but I think, you know, closing is really cool too, because it's high leverage and high risk, high reward. But I prefer starting.
Did you have a closing song? Did you have a walk in song? Did you have the job long enough to have a song?
I can't remember that year in 2020. It was COVID, so we only played like a couple of games at home.
Oh yeah. See, how about now? You got a pump up song for games at the rate.
My walkout is A Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress by the Hollies.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's a good one.
How'd you get back a few decades like that? That's outstanding.
I had it in 2023 and yeah, I enjoyed it. So I figured I might as well go back to it. I know that song.
There you go. Well, do you know this guy? Do you know this country artist? Just curious. This guy is, his name is Shane Smith. I don't know
Shane
if you're
Smith in the same.
Yeah. So are you hip to, yeah. Is Shane Smith hip to Shane Smith? I had to ask.
Depends on who you're asking, but yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
You're right. I got to ask him. We got to get him on and ask him. But yep. I mean, that's a pretty cool confluence. Well, man, it is awesome to see you healthy. And I know that I've only scratched the surface on your journey. And how long it has taken you to get here and all of that, those injuries. There was shoulder, there was Tommy John. I mean, there was a lot. Did you ever lose hope that you were going to be able to have a moment like this where you're in the big leagues, man, and you're killing it? Were you afraid that wasn't going to happen at any point?
The light is always there. Sometimes it's brighter and sometimes it's a little dimmer, but yeah, I always had hope, and sometimes it looks different, but I always, you know, you always picture yourself here. So whatever it's until somebody tells you no, that's the dream. But I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care.
Nice talking to you. That's Shane Smith. He's got to let me go. I got a Maddie though, which is nice. I'll take it.
I was excited for you for that, Maddie.
For that, Maddie?
Yeah.
That's nice.
A win for us.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's a straight up baseball nickname right there. Thank you to Shane Smith. That was fun. Thanks to the White Sox. And now you guys have gotten to know him a little bit. He's a good story and a good dude. And he's absolutely killing it. It is 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run. I know I promised you some stuff about front offices, and then we ended up getting Shane Smith instead, which is delightful. When we come back, let's talk about one that got away for the Cubs and address that bullpen. Shall we? We'll do it next here on 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Certainly a better team than we were last year. I think in, both in paper and reality, I think we're a better team. And obviously now it's about going out there and playing. I mean, I think that the off season's for talking about the team on paper, and the season's for going out and doing it. So now we have to go out and do it. But certainly we're a better team, and Craig had a lot of input on the team over the course of winter, and which is wonderful. And like I said, this. Excited to get going.
That is Jed Hoyer talking about the team being better than they were last year. That from a couple of weeks ago. And they are indeed better than they were last year. They're awfully good. Right now, we got some open phone lines if you want to hop in. Top of the hour, we're going to talk front office stuff. At 11:45, Bruce Levine is going to join us. Doug Glanville at noon. So if you've been wanting to get in or thinking about it, this is a good moment to do it on Hit and Run. We can talk Red Hot Cubs offense. We can talk about them being where they are against this incredibly tough schedule as it stands right now. And you can certainly talk about concerns, be it third base or the bullpen, which we're going to get into in a second. White Sox fans can also get in right now. Just talk to Shane Smith. Really enjoyed that kid, even before he gave me a Maddie on the way out. Got to let you go, Maddie. Oh, it's an all-timer. And we can talk about anything else you want. You saw Crochet yesterday for the second time. Saw Chase Meidroth, who's hitting leadoff again today and playing shortstop again today. Looking to stake a claim as the shortstop and leadoff man. Colson Montgomery, struggle all you want. Chase Meidroth is here for the job that fans were promised you were going to have a couple of years ago. We'll see if and when you get here. He's got some work to do in the minors. So anyway, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to get in. Cubs bullpen is the biggest problem. Third base is a concern. Let me think about how to phrase this, okay? So is the bullpen the biggest problem, or is third base the biggest problem? I'd say third base is kind of the most pressing because you don't really have a regular there. You don't have an everyday guy there. And that said, the offense is so good right now that you can survive without a real legit third base bat. Third baseman defensively as well is an issue, and they should get that fixed. I still don't know how Gage Workman didn't get an error on that play on Friday. I don't get that. Vidal Brujan did not look great there. That's for damn sure. To me, it should be John Birdie every day. As it stands right now, I would just have John Birdie playing out there at third base every day until you figure out if you're going to do something else. But I'm sure they'll give Workman a shot against certain righties. I have concerns about both him and Brujan, and overall, it's a tough moment for third base. But the bullpen, they got to get some things sorted out. Ryan Pressly's actually been pretty good. Four saves and a win his last five times out there. I guess it's the last six times out there. He's yet to blow a save. Adbert Alzolay had five saves by the 3rd of May last year. Cubs blew 17 of their first 81. 17 blown saves in their first 81 games, which is crazy. So are things better? Porter Hodge gave up a lot on Friday with that 10-run debacle. More on that in a little bit. But I like some of the churn that's going on as they're trying to cycle through guys. Like Luke Little came up, can't throw strikes, send him away. You know, just because he has real good stuff does not mean that Nate Pearson is a trustable big league reliever. We had a moment early on this show a couple weeks ago talking to Eno Saris, who I absolutely love. You guys remember this? When Eno Saris said, well, yes, Ryan Pressly is a concern, but there's some big arms in that bullpen. Nate Pearson is a guy. It's like, and I was like, Eno, I love you, man. I love talking to you. I love talking about stuff plus and more. But like, Nate Pearson has never been able to get outs. Not in Toronto. Not here. And I know the fastball is good. I know the breaking pitch is good. But dude can't get outs consistently. So what is it? What's going on? I don't know. Send him down, see if he can figure it out. Maybe it is a confidence issue, a cojones issue, where guys really need to have the strength of their convictions to deliver strikes at crucial moments. And obviously pinpoint control. And if you don't have that, then away you go. Eli Morgan had a medical checkup. Sean, check on that, would you? Eli Morgan, I think, had an MRI yesterday. If you could check on the medicals of that. And Ethan Roberts is a guy with a really good breaking pitch, but now he's been up and down a few times, and he's up right now, but he gave up a big bomb the other day, and I'm not sure he's a big league pitcher. I know Brad Keller has been good and is a big league pitcher. And that has been a pretty good find. And they're sorting it out. What I really want to see in April is aggressive sorting of bullpen roles. That's really what I want to see. And I feel like I am seeing that. And it can be roster churn. It can be role churn. Figure out what you got. We've seen a double down of Ben Brown in the rotation. I think that is the right thing to do. I really like him in the rotation. And we've seen Colin Ray be really good now several times. And Colin Ray looks like a different pitcher than he was in some times previously in his career. Had a decent season last year in Milwaukee, but the Cubs have made some tweaks. I think their pitching department deserves some praise for what's happening with Colin Ray right now. We can get into that a little bit more, but his two-seam fastball is a thing. That thing moves like crazy in a different way, and he's throwing it a lot more. He's leaning on it with confidence, humping it up there at 95 with tons of movement. Looks good for Colin Ray. But so the bullpen in the big leagues is a crazy thing where you have to find a way to tweak with the guys that you have or find somebody else's trash and add a pitch and see what you can do. Get them to focus on things that they do well and see if you can change guys. Maybe you mess with an arm slot, which they've done that, by the way, with Colin Ray as well. But like one guy that we need to talk about who is one that got away, because and he's top of mind because of some quotes I'll share with you in a couple moments, is Jeremiah Estrada of the San Diego Padres. Estrada was a Cub and had a great fastball, and everybody knew it. So while he was a Cub and he was in the system, reached the big leagues with the club in 2022 and 2023. Results were not great. Not a ton of innings. Threw 16 and a third innings over the course of those 2 years. Did have a lot of strikeouts, but gave up 5 homers in those 16 innings. Gave up 10 earned runs in those 16 innings. And they couldn't quite figure out how to make him useful. What happened was that the Padres picked him up after the Cubs let him go. Estrada was, let me look for the transactions here just to be clear. He was waived November 23, put on waivers, and the Padres picked him up in November after having been a sixth rounder for the Cubs in 2017. So he was in the system for 6 years, and then waived. And now since he's been a member of the Padres, he's been absolutely terrific. Estrada is one that got away. And as a member of the Padres last year, he pitched in 62 games, 61 innings, struck out 94 people. A whip just over 1. An incredible 13.9 Ks per 9. This year in 11 games, 11 2/3, he has struck out 14. The WHIP is 0.68, and Jeremiah Estrada is real. What happened is the Padres taught him a splitter. Had a chance to talk to Carter Hawkins about sometime during the season last year and asked him about Jeremiah Estrada. This is from May of 2024. This is Carter Hawkins with me and Danny Parkins on The Score.
Yeah, it's a really good question and something that, you know, we are constantly thinking about. You know, how do we have guys that have success when they come over here, and how do we make sure that we're not sending guys away, that there's some lever we could have pulled where they could have success, you know? So Jeremiah is a prime example of that. That's, you know, gnawing on us. They added a split over there. We had talked about it. We had gone through some of it with him, but did not fully pull the trigger and fully commit to it, and had to make some really hard decisions this offseason on who we were going to remove from our roster, and made the decision to go with Jeremiah. And obviously he's shown that that was the wrong decision. So yeah, we didn't pull a pitching lever that we should have pulled. And it's a lesson learned and a hard lesson learned.
So appreciated that from Carter Hawkins at the time. And I still do. Pointing a thumb and you figure out, you know, what you can learn from it. Here's Carter on how they learn from those mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the process piece. You know, it's, hey, we identified that, you know, he could throw a split. We identified that that might be something that would help his repertoire. You know, obviously his fastball is pretty special, and we had really focused on that, and we kept our focus on that throughout the season last year, and, you know, didn't really put our training economy towards the split. And I think that would have opened up, obviously, would have opened up a lot more performance. And, you know, we had to make a decision to remove him. You know, obviously didn't want to remove him. We just only have a limited amount of roster spots, and we made some decisions on guys over him. So yeah, it's if you examine all of that, then, you know, the tech is fine. The tech just is what it is. It's just saying what's happening. Now what we actually do with that information is what actually helps us make good decisions, and we just got to be better at that.
I think that's genuine honesty and transparency from Carter Hawkins, and I appreciate it. So what was the issue? What was the issue? Well, Jeremiah Estrada has spoken this week in the San Diego Union-Tribune, and here's the write-up in the San Diego Union-Tribune about Jeremiah Estrada. I'm scrolling up to make sure I give the writer, and it is indeed Kevin Acey, the longtime Padres beat writer out there, who writes it this way. On Tuesday night in San Diego, here, let me get there, Jeremiah Estrada walked off the mound. Let's see. Here we go. Walked off the mound, stomped off the mound, was about halfway to the foul line when he looked up towards the suite where Cubs president of baseball operations Jed Hoyer was sitting. Estrada kept his stare on that spot until he was just a few steps from the dugout. He had just recorded 2 3-pitch strikeouts, gotten a ground out in an 8-pitch seventh inning. Estrada was let go by the Cubs following the 2023 season after 7 years in an organization he felt never understood him or supported him. Oof. Estrada's quote, here you go, quote, priorities first, get the job done, help the boys get a win. Second, enjoy the little things. Enjoy the fact that the 3 times I've pitched against them, I've punched out 2 guys and put a 0 on the board. Just feels good. Kind of feels like an ex-girlfriend that messed up and made a wrong decision. You find a new girl and are like, what's up? You find a better version? Back to Kevin. People in the Cubs organization have said they did question Estrada's work ethic. That is news to me, people. They point out that he developed his splitter after he left. Yes, he did. Estrada has called being claimed off waivers by the Padres, quote, a restart button that has refined his focus. And this other quote from Jeremiah Estrada, a lot of the Cubs staff I have so much love for. They were great to me. There are just some specific people I can never forget what they did. Well, that escalated quickly. Folks, we have a Jeremiah Estrada revenge factor. Every time that dude is on the mound against the Cubs, you can know he knows exactly what he's doing and is trying to shove it up their baseball giggy. Let's talk to Ron on the south side on The Score. Ron, good morning. Welcome in. How are you?
Good morning. I just had to say it's always a pleasure talking to Sean. I've been doing this a long time, and he's one of the best. But real quick, Speed, I just try to find something positive. You mentioned Chase Meadroff. yeah, in position. But speed, it's not many others. We got to see what's going to happen with Colson. But when you really look at this organization, the improved ranking is based on those pitches. But and the other thing, speed, is just the optimism that just offset when the inconsistency, non-production of Hulk, Vaughn, and the center fielder. And Andrew Benintendi. So, but that's it. Chase is pretty much the way they said the type of player that he is. But also, you mentioned the walk-up song, right?
Yo,
Steve, do you know who's credited for starting that, right?
Of course I do, Ron. But I'll let you tell people. Go ahead.
It's Nancy Faust. And what she said was in 72, she just did it one time. And she said, you know, what with Bill Melton, William Mamie Bill. But she, in that 1972 Sports Illustrated book with Dick Allen,
yeah,
she said it took off. When she said, when she saw him speak, she said he just played Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes.
And it's mentioned. And so she said that's when it took off. So I just had to point that out. And one last thing, Speed, you know how much I love talking baseball with you. You mentioned Hunter Green, man. I read an article on him yesterday. Man, he's getting it up over 100 consistently, Speed.
He might be the best pitcher right now in the major leagues. Hunter Green of the Reds might be the best pitcher in the major leagues. Remember, Hunter Green is a guy who was an outfielder, too. He was supposed to be a two-way crazy threat. I want to say cover of Sports Illustrated as a high schooler before he was drafted.
Yeah, it was in the Notre Dame jerseys out there, yeah, for his high school team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I remember, like, and they were touting him as, like, you know, modern-day Babe Ruth.
He was supposed to be Shohei Ohtani before Shohei.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But so anyway, he's focused on pitching, and that's going pretty well. That's going pretty damn well. Thank you, Ron, for the call. Texture says Manny Rodriguez of the Rays, another one that got away. I mean, I remember Manny here and as well. Manny has now been pitching for Tampa. Last year, pitched in 40 games for Tampa. Less success. It's a real fastball. But, man, there's a lot of guys with just real fastballs, if that's all it is. It's so tricky. Daniel Palencia could turn into a massive Cubs organizational win, just like Jeremiah Estrada is an organizational loss. It could turn into exactly the same kind of thing. This is what the MLB bullpen chase is all about. Top of the hour, we'll talk some front office stuff that I've been dying to get into. But when we come back, it's time for the team of the moment. Who is the team of the moment? Who is the hottest team in baseball that everybody's talking about that is the most interesting and statistically stands up? Who is it? One can only imagine next on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
High fly ball out towards left center field. That one back, and it's high, and it's gone.
Here we go.
Carson Kelly had a day. A towering homer to left, the three-run jack. He goes deep for the second time, and they're within one. Here's Tucker. Swing and a drive. Right field. Way back. We are on top. Kyle Tucker. 12-11.
Medlin.
The crowd that was booing moments ago are losing their minds. Anybody want to pitch today?
Nah, I'm good, Skip. I'll take the day off.
And no doubter from Tucker.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
Yeah, that's right. The Cubs are the team of the moment. They have to be. That game on Friday was ridiculous. And then yesterday they continue. They've now won two in a row against the team that was looking like they were going to be the team of the moment coming into this series. The Diamondbacks had won 7 of 8 coming into this. Okay? And that offense is really, really good. and they were facing Corbin Burnes and Zach Gallen. And that's why, as the Cubs are now 6-4 in their last 10, have won a couple in a row, and are 14-9 in the midst of an April schedule that is the most difficult for any team in any calendar month of the season. That's why the Cubs are the team of the moment. The offense is absolutely absurd right now. The offense is just ridiculous. They lead in just about all of the counting stats with the additional games they had. Even though they only scored 4 runs in Tokyo, they've got 50 more at-bats, 50 more chances than every other team. 21 more runs, 20 more hits, most doubles, 3rd in homers, number 2 in steals. But they're 3rd in batting average. They're 1st in on-base percentage and 1st in slugging percentage. Offensively, this team is the real deal. And then in terms of the pitching, you've got right now a starting staff that is getting it done. And I know that there have been concerns for all sorts of things in that bullpen, and there should be. But Ben Brown looked great again yesterday. Colin Ray, and great is maybe a stretch because he didn't go as deep as you'd like him, Ben Brown. But that's 2 starts in a row where he gives up very, very little. Looked phenomenal against the Dodgers. And Colin Ray is a different guy, as I was discussing. Matthew Boyd has had a terrific start. Shota's had 1 bad start, but otherwise has been Shota. And then we'll see what happens after that, how they'll fill the vacancy of Steele. Right now, it's Colin Ray. It's going to be his job to lose, perhaps. Jordan Wicks is up here as a bullpen guy. Not a good start to that on Friday. But my goodness, that Friday game had all the vibes of Phillies Cubs in the 70s, whether it's the Mike Schmidt 4 home run game or the 23-22 game, or even it had Sandberg game vibes, 12-11 in 1984. Just like the absurdities of the Wrigley atmosphere when the wind is doing that kind of thing and when the confidence starts to go and pitchers start to freak out. Frankly, it's enough to make you buy a couple tickets for today's game, as my wife did this morning. I can tell you this much. She also has gone shopping looking for headbands with bunny ears on them for Easter. And thankfully, to this point, she has not found any. So that's great. My biggest nightmare right now is her finding, you know, next to the peanut guy at Clark and Addison, you know, is a headband with bunny ears guy. If that guy's there, I'm in trouble, man. I'm in a lot of trouble.
This would be the day, right?
Well, yes, Sean. That's why. It's not that it's not like she just kind of randomly celebrates rabbits on a given Sunday of the baseball season.
I see, because it's Easter. Yeah,
good job. Yeah. Good job. What did you think was the reason?
I don't know. Just, rabbit aficionados. You know, is that a thing?
Rabbit advocate?
Yeah, you know.
Well, she does stand up for the rabbit community. She always has.
That's awesome. You guys are going to the game later, though?
Yes, we are. We are indeed going
very
to the game
cool.
Later.
Very cool. Who's Christine's early favorite for favorite player so far this year?
That's a good question.
Because I know it was Chris Morel, but obviously.
It's a good question. I'll pin her. I'll make her pin her choice down today. That's excellent talking fodder for the game. Thank you for that, Sean.
That's what I'm here for, man.
That's good stuff. Ruben Still an Ian Happ guy.
It's a solid choice. You can't go wrong with Happ.
Very much. How many triples do the Cubs have? Seems like a lot. Yes. Let's go. Cubs are a problem, says a texter. Absolutely. We deserve this. We deserve a good, fun summer with at least one, and if only one, very good team. There are questions about the front office, though, that are going to be tied into this next segment we're going to do, this next bit of conversation we are going to have, okay? And we could certainly mix in the White Sox front office. Who are the best baseball front offices in the game? Who are the best? I have the top 20, according to MLB coaches and executives. Where do you think the Cubs or Sox might be in that top 20? We'll discuss next on The Score.